Good morning. We were so blessed last week by the wonderful, wonderful turnout. I mean, it was above and beyond what we had even prayed for, and I thought we were praying really well. But because of that, we had to divide our groups, because the whole point of the groups is to be able to pray for each other, to be able to get to know each other. And if you have a group of 10 or 12, let alone 15 or 16 or 17 like some of you were, I was told I couldn't even hear the person in my circle across the way praying. So we had to divide them. And so today, for those of you who were here last week, you're just going to go to the same place, or generally speaking, that you were last week, and you'll just look for the person that you know is your leader. And then once everybody is there, they're going to say, okay, and then a couple of them are going to go to hopefully a nearby circle, and they're counting on about half of you going with them. And so this way, because there are several going, you know, you can still stay with your friends, or if there's someone in particular that you wanted to be with, you can just stay together. But if you weren't here last week, you say, well, I don't have any group to go to, you pick any group you want. And yet the one thing that we ask is that once you've picked your group, you stay in that group. The neat thing about dividing is, in some groups, yes, we might have six women, and we have a circle for 10. But what that allows is if you ever want to invite a friend, or you see someone you know come unexpectedly, you can say, hey, sit with me in my group. There'll be that room for give. I am truly blessed to see so many of you. And some of you I have known at Athey through the years, but you haven't necessarily attended the studies. And some of you I'm just meeting, but it really is a blessing. And this morning, it just felt so wonderful to see and to hear all of the ladies coming together. I see that somebody here who wanted a ride got one. I thank the Lord for that. And so it is my prayer that truly, every single week, friendships are going to be forming. We're going to have that sense of being prayed for during the week, which every single one of us needs, but also that we will have the privilege and the blessing of being able to pray for others. It's a wonderful way to get to know each other. When you pray for a person, you feel a bonding with that person. It's interesting because a few weeks ago I had been praying for someone because I knew eventually we would meet, but it was a situation where there was a need, and I was praying for this person for maybe a couple of months. But then I finally met that person. And it was so funny because I just felt like, oh, I need to give you a hug, you know, because I felt already like we had relationship. And that's what prayer does. And some of you are here and you're sitting with friends, and that's wonderful. But some of you have had the courage, and it does take courage, to come here all by yourself. But know that the Lord sees you, and He loves you, and He wants to have you feel the wonderful blessing of being with other sisters who are going to come to know you and love you too. Lord, we do just want to commit this time to you this morning, asking God for your blessing to be upon it. How we count on that. Lord, have your way in our time together, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, perhaps some of you have heard that story of the little boy in kindergarten who was at his table with his crayons, and he was very intent as he was starting to draw something, and the teacher looked at him and said, "Well, what are you drawing?" He says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And she just smiled kindly and said, "Oh dear, none of us know what God looks like." And he said, "Well, they will when I'm finished." And the truth is, in many ways, that is what this study of the names of God is about. You know, we think we know God, or some of us realize, no, I know I don't. And the way we get to know him is by getting to know his names, because it's in his name that he reveals himself. And so I am so grateful, even as I said last week, that even for, you know, a woman here who's a seasoned Christian, has known the Lord, loved the Lord, walked with the Lord for perhaps years and years and years, I can say that I know that you don't know everything there is to know about the Lord. And that's why I'm loving this study, because I know he is taking me into a deeper relationship with him. And it's interesting, because what I feel he's been doing in the past couple of weeks is helping me, even as I shared last week, to recognize some of those times that I have seen him in the name that we are studying. And my prayer is that that's going to happen to you too, because this isn't, this isn't some intellectual study. This is about your relationship with the Lord. It's about getting to know the Lord even better. And so I'm hoping that as the weeks go by and you hear different names discussed, that there'll be those times that your heart's going to resonate and you're going to think, I remember that God, because he has a way of becoming to us whatever we are in need of. And actually, that is who we're going to be looking at today. Last week, we looked at the name Elohim. It just seemed like a natural, because it's the first name of God that appears in the Bible. And it's in the very first verse of the Bible. And whenever we see the name of God, we can know it's indicating his power. It's about his omnipotence, his sovereignty. So when we see that name, just capital G-O-D, that's what it's really representing, his power. And so last week, we started in Genesis 1. And in Genesis 1, we see that name, God, over 30 times. And then even in the second chapter, initially, it starts off with the name God again a couple of times. But then, in verse 4 of Genesis 2, it shows us the second name of God, and that is Lord. Up to this point in Genesis, only the term God has been used. And yet Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is also Jehovah, is the name we see in verse 4. Jehovah or Lord, I'll be using them interchangeably, so just know, is the covenant name of God. It's God's distinctive personal name. It's the name he gave himself. his favorite name. It's used almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. And it's used to define who God is. We'll know whenever we come upon it, because it's so easy to recognize, because it is Lord in all capital letters. So when you see it, and you're going to see it many, many times, as I say, it's almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament, anytime you see it from now on, just think, Jehovah. That's the name God gave himself, Lord. It differs from God in that the name God is used primarily in references that relate to nature or to his creation. Lord, on the other hand, is linked to the creation of man. Why would it be linked to the creation of man? It's because God wants relationship with the one he has created. God is. And the amazing thing is that he may be known. And since, as we learned last week, God transcends all his creation, the only way he can be known is through his self-revelation. And I thought to myself, that kind of speaks of friendship. I mean, think of the people who are your friends. You meet someone, maybe like at a study like this, you meet someone. You don't know much about them. You might have an initial response that, oh, she has a pretty smile, or she has such a nice manner about her, or she has a good sense of humor, or I love the way she dresses. You know, we do respond to women that way sometimes. But it's what? As we reveal ourselves to each other, that we really start getting to know each other. And isn't that how friendships develop? And then the more you reveal to each other, the more you get to know each other, that's how the friendships get deeper. And how wonderful it is that God, the one who created the universe, the one who is mighty and powerful, wants to know us and wants to be known by us. And that is who Jehovah is. Jehovah is the self-revealing God, and he wants to be known by us. So when you see the word, the name, Lord, it's the name that he's using because he's wanting to reveal himself to you. And sometimes it would be worth it just to stop and see, okay, now, what is it in this story? What is it in these verses that he is revealing to me about himself rather than just reading? Recognize when you see it, that's the tip off. I'm revealing something to you about me. Yes, he wants us to see his power, and that's what we looked at last week in the name Elohim. But he wants us to see that power and have access to that power through the relationship that we have with him. And do realize that without the relationship, we don't have access to that power. You know, we might want that power in our lives, but there's only one way to get it. And that is in relationship with him. So Elohim tells us who God is. But Jehovah, Lord, tells us what he's like. We can know something of what the Lord is like by just knowing his attributes. And I told you that we will look at a few every week. Last week we looked at two of what is called his incommunicable attributes. And I explained, because I needed to learn that, that his incommunicable attributes only apply to God. Those are not attributes that will ever be seen in us. They're for God only. We looked at the fact that God is transcendent, that he's omnipresent. And today, we'll look at two more that are very closely related to the name Lord. The first is that God is holy. Holy, holiness, is God's perfection of character. And it's without flaw and without sin, but with complete goodness, justice, mercy, and love. In Isaiah 6, the third verse, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And that's what we looked at last week also. Him being transcendent, he fills the whole earth. The second attribute is that God is self-existing. He is totally independent of the creation. He not only has life, he is life. And the source of that life is within himself. Jesus said in John 5:26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." God alone has life within himself. Besides being holy and self-existent, Jehovah speaks of being eternal. Think about it. The name we looked at last week, I Am. That is, by the way, Jehovah, Lord. That name doesn't have a past or a future. He lives in the present tense. He always exists. The name Jehovah speaks of being immutable. He doesn't change. Jehovah speaks also of being self-defined. What did he say? I am that I am. And I don't know about you, but I remember the very first time I heard that name, it just seemed like, I mean, you are, you are, as if, okay, you started, but you're waiting for the rest. And I love what that name says, because that name says, I am. I am anything that you are in need of. And only God can claim that in our lives. This is the name that was so sacred to the Jews that they feared even speaking it. It was sacred because it's the name that God gave himself. Rabbis considered it too holy to even pronounce, and they then and they now refer to it as the name. It's made up of four consonants and without vowels, and so obviously it couldn't be pronounced. When they added vowels, it became Yahweh, which is Jehovah. In Exodus 3, after telling Moses, His name was I Am. God went on to say in verse 15, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." And I love that. To me, that speaks of God's faithfulness, the fact that he doesn't change, that he's there from generation to generation to generation. He is faithful. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and he's the God for us that we need as well. He is faithful, and I love that. Jehovah is derived from the Hebrew verb hava, meaning to be or being. Most of the names of God in the Bible come out of scenarios, you know, that people find themselves in, and where God reveals himself to them in that very situation. Usually, it's a crisis. So that tells us one of the best ways to get to know God, to get to know Jehovah, to get to know the Lord, is to be in need. I love the story of Corrie ten Boom, who endured so much in her life, being in a concentration camp where her father died, where several members of her family died, where her precious sister, Betsy, died. And what is the saying? We hear it quoted often because it is such a wonderful statement that came from her heart. And that is, she said, "You never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." He came to her as the great I Am while she was in that concentration camp. And he revealed himself to her over and over and over again. If any of you haven't read The Hiding Place, I would so encourage you to do so. And that will just like crack the door open for the many books that she wrote after that that follow. They're wonderful stories. They're faith builders. Because we know a woman who endured so much, and yet in her need, and her need was great, the Lord revealed himself to her over and over again. See, those are the situations in our lives where we come to know the Lord that we never would know to that degree otherwise. I mean, we can know of him, but again, that isn't what the Lord wants. That's why I said, this is not a study, so you're going to learn all about him. Not that knowing is a bad thing, but I so desire, and I know this is what the Lord desires, is that we would know him. It would be heart relationship, because head relationship, very, very fickle. It might be kind of stimulating to start off with, interesting, thought-provoking. But if that is where it stays, there's no relationship. There's no power in your life. There is no awareness of the great I Am that I am. But oh, for any of you And my guess, if really would be by far the majority of us, we would all be able to attest to the fact that it was when we were going through our deepest trials in life that, oh my, we saw the Lord. We came to know Him in a way that we had never known Him before. We may have heard of Him by that name, but in our need, He came to us and we knew Him forever after because of that experience. So that's the good part about going through hard times. So He reveals Himself to us in our needs. But this is why throughout the Old Testament, we're going to see the name Jehovah coupled with other names. And I'm looking forward to doing that, those studies. And those names describe His works. Many of us have responded to the Lord by His different names. And many of us would say, yes, I have had that personal experience. I shared last week, and if you weren't here, I'll say it again. We are going to be blessed every few weeks, I don't know, every 3-4 weeks, with one of you sharing your testimony. And it's going to be about this very thing of how you saw the Lord in your life, in your circumstances. And I am so looking forward to listening to those. Those weeks will replace the teaching, because that's going to be the teaching. And I know it's going to be rich. I know it's going to be precious. You know, I think there's nothing more powerful than hearing another person's testimony. And it always resonates because the person is sharing where the Lord met her, you know, kind of what I call in the warp and woof of her life. And so I know that we're going to be blessed. But see, that's the whole point. The Lord wants us to experience His name, not just know it. I love the fact that our Lord is a personal God. You know, it's interesting to me that in Genesis 3, maybe you want to turn there. Let's just go there. It's just interesting to me that when Satan talked to Eve, he stuck with the name God, not Jehovah. I'm going to read it to you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God, Elohim, really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God, Elohim, did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God, Elohim, knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, in my mind, This was a very calculated approach by Satan. When he is approaching her with God, Elohim, there's no relationship in that name. And so it's easier to just have God out here when there isn't relationship. And so when he is saying, did Elohim, did God say? She's listening, and that's the same way she responds to him. It does not include relationship. And that's why I think it made it much easier for her to disobey. You know, we can believe in God. You know, we have a form of religion and believing God. But without relationship, it is empty. And that's what we need to recognize. In James 2:19, in the New Living Translation, it says, you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. See, we can acknowledge God as the Creator, but that does not mean relationship, and it does not mean salvation. Last week, I shared my experience in the delivery room with you. I told you how I acknowledged God, the Creator, Elohim. But I also told you that my thinking was that didn't mean he was a personal God. You know, it was totally possible to believe in a creator, God, Elohim, but keep it there, and it won't invade the rest of my life. I could just keep on doing my own thing, which is what I did for over a decade after that experience. I can't stress it enough. Relationship with God is crucial. And that's what we all need to see. It's possible there are women sitting here who would say, I don't have that relationship. Or maybe like I might have said, I used to have that relationship, but it's grown cold. You've perhaps drifted into a less personal relationship with the Lord. That relationship is crucial. Without it, if all you're relating to is God, the Creator, you can go your merry way, do what you want. You don't even necessarily feel the conviction because your God really is you and what you want to do, how you want to be in life, the choices you want to make. That's what you listen to. That's who you obey. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you love me, if you have relationship with me, if you love me, you will obey me. And so sometimes it's that very stubbornness in ourselves where our hearts get hard that we don't want that relationship. Again, see, God, the Creator, is impersonal to us. And sometimes that's just where people want to keep him. And that's why it's not necessarily a comfort to say, well, I know he believes in God, or I know she believes in God. Well, great. As I said, you know, Even the demons believe in God. There's got to be relationship. And that relationship, of course, for us, is through Jesus. Eventually in my life, I experienced that, what I think of as inevitable void that comes into our lives when we're not having an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. And the part that was so amazing to me is it came to me when, from the outside, everything was great in my life. I had all these things that I had wanted my whole life long, including a horse, which I had wanted since I'd been 2 years old. So how come when all of these things, these longings that I'd had forever were being fulfilled, were being met, that I became keenly aware there was a void in me that wasn't being touched? I'm so glad that Jehovah, the Lord, reveals himself to us. And he revealed himself to me. There was a scripture that I read yesterday in my daily reading. I didn't know it when I was in that process of returning to the Lord. But when I read it yesterday, I thought, oh, this is exactly how I felt. For those of you who aren't here, I had known the Lord as a teenager, then wandered away. And so this is many, many years later, probably 16 years later. And this is the verse. It's Jeremiah 31, 18 and 19. Turn me again to you and restore me. For you alone are the Lord, my God. I turned away from God, but then I was sorry. I kicked myself for my stupidity. I was thoroughly ashamed of all I did in my younger days. And I remember at that time praying and saying to the Lord, if you're really there, and if you're a personal God, see, that's what made the difference. I believed in God, but now I'm saying, if you're a personal God, and you're even hearing this prayer, then Lord, let me know you the way I used to. And Jehovah, the Lord, heard that cry. And he spoke to me through his word. He led me to Isaiah 1, 18, where it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, capital letters. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. What kind, loving, forgiving words the Lord spoke to me. And he revealed himself to me in my need. I love the passage in Exodus 34 where the Lord came down in the cloud and he proclaimed to Moses. As he passed before Moses, he proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. How thankful I am that the Lord forgives. Our Lord is a personal God. He wants relationship with us. To me, that is so amazing. He wants to know us intimately. And of course he does, but he wants the intimate relationship that we feel, not only that we are known, which is a wonderful, wonderful way to feel, but that we also know him. And that's why we can spend our lifetime learning about him, knowing him. Realize this morning, he wants to meet you in your need. And he knows each one of you. You know, I look at all of you and I think, wow, think of the multiple needs that are sitting right here, right now. Some of you might be dealing with loneliness. Perhaps you're in a struggling marriage, or you're recently divorced. Maybe you're heartbroken about a prodigal. The list could go on and on and on, couldn't it? But what is so wonderful is there is not one need in this entire room that the great I Am, Jehovah, the Lord, won't meet you in. He wants to meet you in your need. In James 4:8, it says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." If you leave here from the sanctuary this morning and you remember only one thing that I shared, may it please be that you know that the Lord wants relationship with you. And he's revealing himself to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you meet us in our need, that you are the great I Am, that nothing is too hard for you. Lord, you said that in Jeremiah. I am the Lord of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And we thank you that no, nothing is too hard for you. Father, I just pray for every single woman here, and I love the fact that you know each one by name, and you know their hearts. You know their lives, what they're going through. And you know if there are any here that are lacking relationship with you. Father, please. Well, first of all, thank you because I know you're revealing yourself to her or to them. I know you are. But please, may they have a heart to respond to you and to see you as you really are, loving them, forgiving them, In Jesus' name, amen.